Our study tonight is in Isaiah chapter 27, verses 1 through 13. It's the entire chapter, Learning from God's Great Tribulation Refinement of Israel and Judah. God will refine the nation Israel from the dross of her sin in the Great Tribulation, like Isaiah 27, 1 to 13 predicts. So we study the passage for our insight and edification. I want to read the passage first, and then we will look at it. Isaiah chapter 27. In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent, even Leviathan the crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. That's all high figurative language, but we'll get into that in a little bit. In that day sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come to Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and the images shall not stand up. Yet the defenced city shall be desolate, and habitation forsaken, and left like the wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there he shall lie down, and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river under the stream of Egypt. You shall be gathered one by one, O you children of Israel. It shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and they shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Okay, some of this has to be retranslated to understand it. Isaiah 27, 1 to 13 can be broken into three major segments, each marked by the introductory prepositional phrase of in that day. In that day starts verse 1, in that day starts verse 2, in that day starts verse 12. And each one is a separate little section. It's a literary technique that is used by Isaiah. Incidentally, Isaiah, if you're interested, Isaiah was very highly trained. The type of Hebrew that he uses and the poetry that he uses is very formal. That means that he was a high official in the area. He's very highly educated. It wasn't like Amos or some of these other guys who are just middle class or lower middle class. This was kind of like a man who was a secretary of state, very educated. So we view these three major segments of Isaiah 27. The in that day of the second coming of Christ, in verse 1, Jesus will destroy the troublesome wicked. Isaiah's reference to Leviathan, the gliding and the coiling serpent, according to the NIV, alludes to an ancient pagan myth about an enemy of order in creation that had to be slain by hero deities to produce the ordered creation. Throughout the ancient Near East, there was this idea that there was a sort of a monster, and this monster was filled with body fluids, and that monster was chaotic, associated with the fluids. And so a hero god had to come and slay the monster, and the fluids were released to create the oceans, and then there was a created order that came out of it. I really personally feel that what happened is there was a distorted pagan concept of the flood. God had actually created the chaos with the judgment of the flood. And then after the flood, he'd caused the waters to subside, and then he created an ordered world. And the pagans got it mixed up. However, what the Bible often does, it'll use a figure of speech from paganism, but it'll righteousify it, if I can coin a word. In other words, it'll clean it up.
It would be like a Christian. I'm trying to think of what we would use today. I can't, because we don't have pagan myths in the country today. But anyway, this is a reference to God slaying this myth. Now, Isaiah's allusion to this mythical creature figuratively recalls the wicked men on the earth who will have wrought the chaotic state of the world. And God will slay them at Christ's second coming, much as a hero deity is said to slay the mythical Leviathan monster with a great sword. So what God is going to be doing is slaying. The slaying of the Leviathan is a picture of his slaying of these godless men who have created a terrible situation on the world. Verse 2, in that day of the start of the Messianic kingdom, a song will be sung of God's blessing of a repentant Israel. This is Isaiah 27, 2-6, after her pruning judgment by the Lord in the tribulation. That's Isaiah 27, 7-11. Back in Isaiah 5, you'll recall that God presented Israel as a vine that produced wild grapes of unrighteousness. But here in Isaiah 27, 2-6, she is presented as a choice vine that produces desired fruit due to the Lord's constant protection and care. This is why she's producing this red wine, which is a desired product of these grapes. Now, were the vine to produce sin that displeased God, he would judge it, according to verse 4. But he rather hopes that Israel will repent and look to him as her refuge from trouble, in verse 5. So in the end, when the Messianic kingdom arrives, Israel will be spiritually productive, a nation through whom God will bless the entire world. Nevertheless, Israel will have to be pruned in divine judgment before the spiritual productivity arrives. And Isaiah 27, 7-11 describes this pruning judgment in the tribulation. It's interesting, as we drive on our way to church here, there's a vineyard up on the left side of the road. You've probably seen it there. And right now, they haven't really pruned a lot of the branches back. They're letting the branches grow. But when you get to the point where you want to produce a quality vine, you have to have an expert pruner, because you can over-prune these grapevines too, or you can under-prune them. But he has to prune them just right so that the grapes produce a maximum amount of grapes with quality grapes. And only an expert pruner knows where to do that and how to do that. So God, the expert pruner, is going to be used in the Great Tribulation to cut back on Israel so that she'll be a vine that produces righteousness. Unfortunately, sometimes the only way people will get around to producing real righteousness is to go through pain and suffering. But pain and suffering has a way of, God has a way of using pain and suffering in order to make us more righteous, because we learn to revere the Lord and humbly seek him and look to him. Well, number one, by means of wicked Gentile foes that strike and kill and exile Israel's people, God will have disciplined her for her violations of the Mosaic covenant, verses 7 and 8. The atonement of Israel's sin, we know from Scripture, occurs at the cross of Jesus Christ. You'll remember Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, says that surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Substitutionary atonement of our Lord. Number three, the evidence of this atonement is applied to create a new heart, and it will be Israel's pulverizing her altar stones dedicated to idolatrous gods and removing the Asherah poles, wooden symbols of the Canaanite pagan goddess of fertility. So, due to Israel's sin, the city would have been destroyed, its people removed, the place left desolate, as God will have temporarily withdrawn his compassion and his blessing from her. It's interesting, you'll remember, if you look at the book of Zechariah, at the coming of Christ, just before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, Israel is suffering terribly under invaders who have come in and persecuting, and just like they're going to lose everything. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes back and he saves them. But at that particular point, there are 7,000 Jews that are left, and boy, are they refined. They are completely committed to the Lord. And that's the group of people that God's going to start with, people who are absolutely dedicated to the Lord and to Christ. Well, In that day after the tribulation, we're talking about verses 12 and 13, God will regather Israel for the kingdom. After the great tribulation, God will thresh in judgment a wide area from the Euphrates River down to the Wadi of Egypt. That's a stream that marks the southwestern border of Canaan. And the Lord will regather his people from Assyria by the Euphrates to Egypt, which is southwest of Israel. Then a great trumpet will sound, typifying the trumpets of the nation Israel in their wilderness wanderings that signaled the time for the whole nation to move geographically. You'll remember in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, this is in the time of Israel's wilderness wanderings, that the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of one piece shall you make them, and that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." So you could hear a trumpet from a long ways away. This is why in the military they use bugles, especially in the old days when they used to have the cavalry, and you could do a charge, and you could hear it all over the battlefield. Or if there is I forget what the call is for a retreat, but it's a different, something like that. And everybody knew that they were retreating. And so these trumpets, God's going to sound a trumpet. It's a figurative of the fact that he's going to call Israel from all over the place. The people of Israel, they're going to be scattered all over the world, but he's going to call them to move. Accordingly, those Jews who have been perishing in Assyria in the Great Tribulation, those who have been exiled in Egypt, will then come and worship the Lord on his holy mountain at the temple site in Jerusalem. So though Israel will enter the great tribulation period with a lot of sin, the intense trials she will face, especially under persecuting wicked people, will be used of God to refine her of her sinful dross so that when Christ returns, destroying her wicked persecutors, Israel will also be purified and prepared to be richly blessed and be a great blessing in the earth for the world. So if we face unusual trials, may we see what purifying lessons God has for us in them and heed his directives. And then if we face dreadfully chaos-producing wicked foes, know that God will fully deal with them in the end and use the pain experienced upon facing such foes as an opportunity to grow in the Lord's grace. Many years ago, I heard of a lady who had become a missionary to, Papua New Guinea, one of those New Guinea islands out there. And she and her husband went into a third world tribe or a Stone Age tribe group of people. And apparently in the culture of that tribe, it was common practice for the men to beat up their wives. And this is, you know, horrible practice and so forth. Well, lo and behold, the wife, of this missionary wife, had been severely and often beaten as she was a child growing up. I think her father or something had done it. And God had given her victory over that, so she knew how to deal with that. And God went ahead and used that terrible background that she had and the victory that she gained over that to minister to these women in this third world tribe so that they knew how to handle this until they could disciple the men and teach the men, this is not the will of God for you to do this. You're supposed to love your wives and treat them gently and so forth. But of course, that took many, many years to occur. But it's amazing what God did through the enormous suffering that this woman went through and with the victory that she gained because she had learned to trust the Lord and look to him for comfort over that. God was able to use that in a marvelous way with this Stone Age tribe. See, he knew all about that. From the beginning, he knew that she'd be a missionary to this group of people and that those people and the women in that tribe would need her. And so God prepared her. So trials that occur are not a mistake. They're not an accident. Problems that come up, they're not an accident. God knows every one of them. So what we need to do is to go with the flow, so to speak, and trust the Lord that he knows what he's doing and just wait upon him to work his perfect discipling product in our hearts.